Good morning.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church, Arlington, Illinois.
Enjoy your service.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church. It is a beautiful day in beautiful Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It's wonderful to have you all here, and welcome to those who are watching us at home as well. This is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, and it's a wonderful day anytime we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to receive God's word and his gifts, his body and blood, which we will receive in the Lord's Supper today as well. This weekend is also a weekend for us to give thanks to God for this nation. As yesterday, of course, was the 20th anniversary of the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. And so we have an opportunity to gather today on this September 12th and to remember those who lost their lives, those who were heroes during that time, those who continue to face the effects of that loss even 20 years later. And so as we do so today, we will have an opportunity to thank the Lord for this country and ask him to bless it. We are going to have a special prayer during our prayer of the church today. And in addition to that, our offertory hymn will be God Bless Our Native Land. Our liturgy today for our worship will be Divine Service Setting 2, and you can find that in your hymnal starting on page 167. And so we will begin with the invocation. I invite you to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll continue our service now with the Introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of your bulletin. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. But I trust in you, O Lord. My times are in your hand. Make your face shine on your servant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, our support and defense in every need, continue to preserve your church in safety, govern her by your goodness, and bless her with your peace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, beginning with verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord. and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The words to the gradual are printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Our epistle reading today comes from the letter of St. James, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. The sermon hymn today is 528, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle reading as we get to continue to work through the epistle of St. James. Last week in chapter 2, James was writing about taking our faith and showing that faith outwardly, outward action. This week, now here in chapter 3, James is moving from outward action now to speech, talking about the power of our tongues and the words that we use. Of course, we give thanks that we have a God who became man and had a human tongue and used human language to speak words into this world that are more powerful than anything that has ever been spoken before. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I was entering into eighth grade back in the fall of 1999, back then at our school, all of us students had been given a choice of a new subject that would be added to our class schedules. Once you're in eighth grade, back then, you could choose to take a foreign language, which at first was kind of scary, kind of exciting, but mostly intimidating experience for me. But as I found out, it wasn't all that bad. So we all had the choice between French and Spanish, and I decided to go with Spanish. and found out very quickly that that was a subject that I really enjoyed. I really thought it was actually fun to learn a new language, and I got to take Spanish not just that eighth grade year, but all 4 years of high school, so 5 years total, and it was just, you know, a really good subject for me. I really enjoyed it. You know, I got good grades in Spanish. It was times when it was challenging, but I looked forward to going to Spanish class much more than I did going to math and science classes and things like that. It's just how my brain is wired. Learning languages has kind of come naturally to me. But I would say that one thing that I've noticed since learning Spanish in high school and then going on to college and being exposed to German and Greek and Hebrew in preparation for seminary, there is a big difference between studying a language and actually learning a language, right? Because it's one thing to just study how a language works, you know, kind of figure out the nuts and bolts of the grammar, all the different rules, memorize the vocabulary, all of that good stuff. But that is much different from actually learning a language to the point where someone else can be speaking the language and you can understand what they're saying, or maybe you can even try to have a conversation with them in a language that is not your native tongue. And, you know, as I was taking these advanced Spanish classes in high school, I was upperclassman, junior, senior of high school, and I was taking these hard classes, and I was getting good grades, and I was all puffed up with pride because I had kids in my class that were native Spanish speakers. Like, they spoke Spanish with their families at home, and I would get better grades on some of the assignments than they did, and I thought I was really hot stuff, you know, because I couldn't believe that they didn't know all the ins and outs of their own language and where to put all the accent marks and all of that stuff. But then, a few years down the road, I was called to McAllen, Texas. And I found out down on the border that learning a language and studying a language are very, very different things. That in order to be able to actually understand and speak a second language, you have to do more than just study. And I think the flip side is also true with all of us who are native English speakers, which I think is pretty much everybody here in this room, right? How many of us really fully understand exactly how our English language really works? We have this natural knowledge of English, and maybe some of us would say we have a really great command of the English language because of it being the language that we were raised in, right? But how many of us really know all the different parts of speech and verb tenses and all of the rules and all of the exceptions to the rules, right? English is a very, very hard language to learn if it's not your native tongue. I think what it comes down to is that if you really want to be fluent in a second language, more than just studying that language, I think it's important that a person is immersed in the language somehow. So more than just looking at textbooks or downloading an app that's going to quiz you on how to translate certain phrases and things like that, to be actually surrounded with people who are speaking that other language, to listen to the way that they talk, the inflection of their voice, to actually try to speak it yourself, which means you're going to be just going based on what you're hearing and trying to imitate that. And a lot of times, you might end up being wrong, but that's okay, right? Because it's all part of the process. I'm often fascinated, raising three small children, at how they learn to speak English over time. And I want to point out Zach especially, because Zach is at an interesting crossroads in his language development. At this point, at 4 years old, he's got a pretty good command of English language, but there are certain things that he pronounces kind of funny or like just in his own Zach way. So like right now, one of the most consistent things he says is remember with an N instead of remember. So he'll say, remember when we went to school, or remember you told me you were going to give me ice cream or something like that. But I think the funniest thing that happened most recently was there was one night when we decided to bring the kids to Sonic to eat. And we asked them, you know, what do you guys want to eat for your kids' meals? And Zoe right away said, I want a grilled cheese. So then we asked Zach, do you want a grilled cheese too? And he starts getting all mad, right? He's like throwing a fit over the grilled cheese. And we can't figure out why. I mean, he's Zach, he's four, he sometimes loses his cool over things, right? So that's kind of normal, but it's like, what's so wrong? We said, Zach, you love grilled cheese, what's the problem? And then eventually we figured out it's because he wasn't hearing us right. Because he then yelled out, I don't want girl cheese, I want boy cheese. Silly kid. All right, what does this have to do with anything? Well, like I said, today we're going to spend some time here with the Epistle of St. James. We have this in the epistle reading. And today the subject is our tongues. Now, obviously, James is not going into detail about, you know, the details of learning how to speak a language, but the way that James talks about the power of our tongues implies, at the very least, that as Christians, the language that we speak, the words that we choose to use, matter a lot. And we probably ought to be pretty careful about those things. So James, you know, uses this analogy, talks about how our tongues end up sort of steering the rest of our bodies. And he makes this comparison to the rudder of a ship. So you just have this little rudder, but the pilot uses that to make this big, giant ship go anywhere that he wants it to go. And so the idea is that the tongue is kind of like that. The tongue is guiding our outward actions. So if the things that we are saying to others and about others are kind and loving, then usually that ends up meaning that the actions outwardly that follow that are also kind and loving actions. So that means for us that the tongue and our language are really, really powerful and important tools that we can use to spread the love of Jesus Christ in this world everywhere we go. But James, of course, gives us a really big warning here in chapter 3. Because these really important tools that we have, our tongue, our language, our words, can also be used as weapons, right? So James says the tongue is not only like a rudder, but he also mentions that the tongue can also be like a little flame that starts a huge wildfire. I was kind of reading up on some of the wildfires that they've been dealing with out west in places like California, and I was reading about this one just a few years ago where a huge wildfire was started by just the tiniest little spark. It was a guy who was driving down the road, and he had a trailer behind him, and one of the tires went flat. So the wheel rim was kind of scraping along against the road, and the little sparks that came out of that, just little sparks, started this fire in the grass next to the road. And that tiny little spark led to over 200,000 acres of land being destroyed, just from that tiny little spark. And then you think about your own life, and you think about your experiences that you've had, and you realize that the same kinds of things happen when somebody's tongue makes those sparks. And the kinds of destruction we've all seen that can come from just little words, or maybe even not even the words themselves, just the way somebody speaks, and all the fallout that can come out from that. All of the personal turmoil and destruction that can happen because of that. That's sort of what James is getting at here. We know how important it is for us to watch our tongues if we value the relationships that we have with other people. Most of us learned from the time that we were very small that if we don't have anything nice to say, we shouldn't say anything at all. And maybe you were one of those little kids that kind of bragged and boasted on the playground saying, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But the older you get, you know, yeah, words might not break your bones, but words can certainly break a person's spirit. We have studied Luther's small catechism. We know what the Ten Commandments say. We know the Eighth Commandment. that reminds us that not only are we not to bear false witness against our neighbor with our words, but then Luther, in his explanation, goes even further and reminds us that we also ought to explain everything in the kindest way. We need to put the best construction on things. We know this. We've studied this. So why is it so hard for the things that we know up here to come out down here, out of our mouths? Let me suggest that it's because, essentially, when we are speaking these kind words, speaking the truth in love, for us, it's like we're being asked to speak a foreign language. And what I mean by that is our native tongues, and I'm talking in a spiritual way now, our native tongues are often like the kinds of tongues that James is writing about here. Tongues that are full of fire, tongues that are full of poison, tongues that are full of salt water. That's the kind of language that we all grow up with here on this broken planet. That's the language that we are immersed in from day one. That's the language we hear everybody around us speaking. That's the language that, unfortunately, we also end up imitating from time to time. For poor, miserable sinners like us, when we hear people gossiping, slandering, griping and complaining, boy, there's this thing inside us, our sinful nature, that just really wants to join in too, because that's our native tongue. And while I would definitely agree that this is something that affects the whole world on some level, I think it's also important for us to be honest and acknowledge that for us, living in a small town or a small community, this is something that we are prone to maybe more than others. Because we live in a place where everybody knows everybody else's business, right? Which is a good thing in the sense that, you know, it's not like we're in the big city and we're all just anonymous. But at the same time, this can be one of the places where it's hard. When we're asked to always speak the truth in love and we're asked to guard and control our native tongues from coming out. As Christians, we are called to love God and love our neighbors. Our task is to speak the truth in love. But if this is going to be like speaking a foreign language, then, man, we've got to study. We got a whole new set of vocabulary to learn. We've got, you know, these ways we got to figure out what we should say and what we shouldn't say in every situation. But we know that the best way to learn a second language isn't necessarily going to be studying and working harder, right? The best way to learn a second language is to be immersed in it, to be surrounded by it, to hear it being spoken all around you. And thanks be to God, that is what God has done for you by placing you here in a community of believers, by placing you here in church, surrounded with his word, surrounded with brothers and sisters in Christ, in full communion with the saints and the angels and the archangels who all stand before the throne of God. This is what he has done for you. This isn't a Spanish classroom, but this is God's classroom. And we have the greatest teacher ever. Because, you know, Jesus had a native tongue too. And I'm not just referring to Aramaic, which of course was the language that he spoke, the human language that he spoke. But the native tongue, the true native tongue of our Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty Word of God. I mean, he is the Word made flesh. And Jesus coming into this world is God's way of speaking the truth in love to the entire world. There is no greater word that has ever been uttered from somebody's mouth than the last word that Jesus spoke before he died on the cross, which is tetelestai, and it means it is finished. We think that our tongues are powerful. It's nothing compared to the power that exists in that one word alone. And Jesus uses that power not as a weapon, but as a tool. Not as a way to set the world on fire and annihilate all the sinners, but instead Jesus uses it as a tool to redeem us, to comfort us, to forgive us. Jesus uses that power on the day of our baptism, and he says to us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He gives us the gift of faith, and that faith gives us the gift of a new native tongue, one that sings praises to God, one that goes to God in prayers of thanksgiving and also in prayers when we have need. A new native tongue that proclaims the gospel, the good news of heavenly hope, to people who need to hear it so desperately, into the ears and into the hearts of those who are desperate to hear something other than what this world has to offer. So we ask the Lord to open our mouths and to use our tongues for his purposes until one day when all of the world will speak one language again, billions upon billions of people all singing in unison, Alleluia, praise the Lord. To God alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. At this time, we will continue our service by speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we will confess the words of the Nicene Creed, which are printed for you on page 174. We confess together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayers today, we do have a number of updates and announcements for you. First up in care facilities, we continue to pray for Ferris Caston, and she has now moved to the Carlisle Health Care Center. Also, we will be lifting up Wilfred Caston, who was diagnosed with COVID-19 this week, and he is currently hospitalized. We will be continuing to pray for Orville Obermeyer. We give thanks to God that he was able to actually come home. He got home yesterday after 5 weeks. And so we'll continue to pray for him under ongoing health needs as he continues to recover from that quadruple bypass surgery that he had recently. Last week, I mentioned that Neil Hake had been diagnosed with COVID-19 and pneumonia. Since last Sunday, he has actually been transferred to hospital in Paducah, Kentucky, and he is currently on a ventilator. So please lift Neil in your personal prayers as well. Also, we give thanks to God today for the birth of Miles Lee Unverfurt, who was born to Adam and Christina Unverfurt on Wednesday. Thanks be to God. And finally, we received word last evening that our dear sister in Christ, Frances Reeder, passed away last night, about 8:30 in the evening. And so we'll lift up her family and friends in our prayers today. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Sustain us through the many troubles and trials of this world. When unclean spirits afflict us and those that we love, revive our trust in you. Bless the teachers of our Lutheran schools, colleges, and seminaries, especially those who teach here at Trinity Hoyleton. Help them to remain faithful to your word in all things. And be with all of our other partners in mission and ministry, including especially Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea, and also our sister Lutheran congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Hoffman, and their pastor Mark Hofferber. Lord, in your mercy, Lord and Father, tame our tongues so that they are not a restless evil full of deadly poison. Turn them by your Spirit from cursing the people made in your likeness to instead blessing you, and keep us from stumbling in what we say. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, guard the tongues of our governing authorities, that they may not stumble in what they say, but speak wisely, leading in accord with your will. And we lift before you our entire nation on this weekend of special remembrance, as we continue to remember those whose earthly lives were cut short by forces of evil. Remind us daily of the life that your Son laid down for us. Have compassion on us, and especially on those who continue to suffer the personal losses of September 11, 2001. Lord, grant that we may yet see the day when wars and rumors of wars shall no longer be, the day when peace will rule the earth, the day when your will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. We also lift before you all those who currently serve in the military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, we give you thanks for all of your blessings to us in this earthly life. We continue to ask for favorable weather, safety for those who work in the fields. We look to you for all good, and if it be your will, we ask that you would provide us with an abundant harvest. We also thank you for our earthly lives and lift before you all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Henry, Connie, Anna, August, Gavin, Elliot, Dorothy, Josephine, Ryder, Diane, Rhonda, Gerald, and Michael. We rejoice today at the birth of Miles Lee Unverfurt. We pray that you would be with him and his parents as we anticipate the day when he would be brought to the baptismal font. We also praise your name for the gifts of marriage and family and ask that you would be with all those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Richard and Agnes Baining. Help them to grow in love for you and for each other with every passing year. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have promised that all things are possible for one who believes. In such faith, we bring before you all those who are on our prayer list, including all those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you those who are hospitalized, including Ted, Neil, and Wilfred, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Roy, Marvin, Lorna, Amy, Beulah, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Linda, Marvin, Larry, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, Orville, all those who are fighting cancer. We also lift before you today all those who work in the healthcare industry, that you would lead them and guide them. Let them be your hands and feet as they work to be with their patients. Comfort all those also who mourn, especially the family and friends of Frances Reeder, with the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son, who suffered unjustly for our sins and was vindicated in his resurrection, is near to us in his body and blood. Assure us that no one can contend against or declare guilty those who have been reconciled to God in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Today, instead of singing our normal offertory, we will ask the Lord to bless our country as we sing a song of prayer. It's going to be hymn number 965, God Bless Our Native Land. Please stand and sing.
Thank you.
We continue now with the service of the sacrament, which begins on page 177. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We sing together our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, on page 181. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is number 918. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. Good morning. Just a few announcements to bring to your attention before we go and enjoy the rest of this beautiful day. First, I wanted to mention, you know, I brought up Francis Reeder in our prayers today. I know that there will be many members of our congregation interested in the arrangements that are being made for her. Since she just passed away last evening, there are no official arrangements yet. I'm going to be meeting with the family later this afternoon to figure all of that out. And so we will do our best to communicate to the congregation, you know, when everything is going to take place. But please, as I said before, please keep all of their family in your prayers all through the rest of this week. I want to thank you to those who supported our recent PTL fundraiser selling mums and also evergreens for winter. It says in the bulletin here that we've sold 600 mums. So thank you very much, those of you who ordered some mums. And I know everybody's curious as to how they can get their hands on those beautiful mums. Tomorrow is the day. So after school, they will be available. You can come and pick them up anytime up until 6 o'clock in the evening. So please come and get your mums. Also, tomorrow night, we have our regular meeting night. So stewardship, Board of Ed, and elders will all be meeting tomorrow evening. Thursday will be our nominating committee meeting, so that's for members of all of our boards and our officers, if you would come and join us. And for the rest of you, please prayerfully consider how you might respond if you receive a letter saying that you have been nominated for a position for next year. Wanted to also bring to your attention that this weekend is the Carol Renth Memorial Tournament going on in New Minden, and this today, going on right now until 1 o'clock, they're serving a special pork steak and bratwurst dinner. And so you can see all the sides and everything that are in the bulletin listed there. But I wanted to especially bring that to your attention because this year it's all benefiting both Amy Hafford, who is a member of our congregation, and also Linda Renth, who is the mother of one of the members of our congregation. And so we've been praying for both of these ladies in our prayer list for quite some time, and it would be great if we could all go in and support them through this pork steak and bratwurst dinner. So if you're hungry, head on down to New Minden for that. It will be delicious. The last thing I wanted to bring to your attention today is that we are still in need of some secret angels to bless our confirmands this year, especially our new incoming first year seventh grade class. If you are interested in being a secret angel, would you please contact our office and let Jane know, and she will assign you to one of our wonderful confirmands. Are there any other announcements that need to be made today? Okay, if not, go enjoy the rest of your day. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week. Thank you.